year.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it leak, down long, there's Wesco, catches it at the 40, off the race, and he goes, touchdown! Wesco from 76!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number two of the program here on a Wednesday with Fax and Childress and John Haidt on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. Before we hop back into the action, I want to tell you about our friends at Carolina Top Dressing. If you're looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025, go with Carolina Top Dressing. They're committed to serving the upstate, bringing golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. You can ask them about their latest top dressing amendment and Carolina mix, or sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. Now time for our 10:05 rather, Wednesday guest.
Yeah, absolutely. We are pleased to be joined in this time slot each and every week by former Clemson offensive lineman and member of the William Byron race team, Landon Walker. Landon, how you doing this morning?
So well, guys. Thanks for having me on this beautiful Wednesday morning.
Absolutely. And, you know, happy to have you on this morning because we get to talk about what we saw on Saturday night. As I'd like to see if you agree with me. Is this the best performance by this offensive line to date this season?
Yeah, man. The pass protection was really unmatched compared to what we've seen this year. And it's fun to see what Cade Klubnik can do when he has that type of protection. You know, we've been talking about it all year. For him to be able to find that comfort zone. And I think he was very comfortable on Saturday night, especially that first half.
What were some of your – actually, I'm going to change my question in real time here. What did you make of right tackle Blake Miller? He was the ACC Lineman of the Week. We talked about him a good bit, that being your former position. What did you take away from his performance Saturday night?
I thought he played his tail off, man. I really did. You know, I watched that offensive line very closely. You know, especially in the first half when things were just clicking on all cylinders, and the pass protection, you know, was really, like I said before, one of the biggest takeaways. You know, being able, as much as they threw the ball there in the first half, you know, Cade being able to have the success with Wesco, and, you know, I thought that Blake held his own. You know, I thought they did a great job of being able to pick up the in disguise blitzes and see the protection the way that we've been wanting them to do. And so I feel like they really are starting to peak, you know, at this point in the year in October, and really feel obviously like that the coaching has really paid off. I feel like the offensive line coach is doing an exceptional job with this group, and those guys are just starting to get it, man. They're starting to understand what can happen and how well things can go when, you know, you give that quarterback a little bit of time. We're starting to see the Cade that we're used to seeing, you know, late last year.
What do you think that this offense can do to translate this against SMU? This SMU defense is very good against the run, but very, very bad against the pass. Do you think this is a situation here in Death Valley Saturday afternoon that Clemson can take the performances from the last two on the road and replicate that at home? Because we were talking to Chapel Fowler of the state in hour one, and since Clemson ended their streak of 40 straight games at home, they're 7-6 at home over the last 3 years. Can you translate this at home and get a win?
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to talking about what was going to go into that Boston College game after they, you know, these guys played up in Chapel Hill, that confidence, that momentum, I think that obviously showed in Boston College. I think they kind of just hit the ground running there the first series of offense, and was able to continue that momentum we saw in Chapel Hill. So obviously that's what we expect to see. You know, I think this team does a very good job, and Riley's doing a great job of being able to use the quarterback in you know, the running game. You know, you don't see in the stats column, you don't see as many rushing yards for Randall, but we're seeing Cade run a lot. We're seeing a lot of the draw action. We're seeing a lot of that, you know, the quarterback option situation. So I think that those types of runs set this offense up for big plays down the field like we saw in Boston College. You know, you have to defend Cade, you know, being successful, you know, seeing the defense, seeing when he can take that run, make that play downfield. So, you know, making this offense being, you know, multidimensional has definitely seen the offense progress. I think we've seen that as you know the last few games in particular. So I think that that's going to be hard to defend. You know, SMU is going to have their hands full with this offense playing the way they're playing right now. If they are capable of being able to run the ball a little bit with Randall and Cade, making that backfield, just interesting to see from our perspective. But like I said, I think we're going to see multiple plays downfield to Antonio Williams and Wesco, and Wesco is going to continue being the receiver that he's been all year. So I think it's going to be a really good opportunity for these guys to show what they've built up to at this point in the year against a better defense.
Continuing to visit with former Clemson offensive lineman Landon Walker. Landon, I want to ask you about this SMU matchup and what we can anticipate. It's a defense that's very, very stingy against the run, but does have some big-time leaking on the back end in relation to the passing game. They're dead last in the ACC in pass yards allowed per game, but they like to send a lot of pressure and try and impact the quarterback and turn him over. Are you anticipating more maybe max protect looks or some chipping and additional help for Clemson's offensive line in this game to combat some extra bodies that could be going at Cade Klubnik?
Yeah, for sure. I anticipate using Randall, especially in the six-man protection, and using some tight end chips on the DNs and trying to help, you know, negotiate a little bit of this, you know, defensive pressure they're probably going to see. Because obviously, when you have a good group up front from a defense perspective, but your defensive backfield is a little bit weak, obviously the more pressure you can get on Cade to make him uncomfortable, and we've seen that that has worked and with other teams, you know, blitzing and you know, creating that pressure makes us make, you know, not the best decisions. And that's just natural for any offense to make bad decisions when they're under pressure, under the gun. So feel like it's a good opportunity, again, for this offensive line to show up and say, look, we're getting better every week. We're getting better every week, and we're putting ourselves in a position to be able to pick up some of these blitzes and put ourselves in a position to give Cade a little more protection so he can – obviously, we see what he can do with the protection. So I think – the sky's the limit for these guys to prove themselves and continue to get better throughout the course of the year. And that's what we're seeing. You know, that's, I think that's all, you know, the griping was about early in the year from fans is they wanted to see this team get better. And we all knew it was capable of doing that. We're seeing that now. We're seeing that, especially in the last two games. It's just, the trajectory is just continuing to increase. And I think it's going to be great to see these guys go against a pretty good defense and have the same success.
Yeah, definitely in agreement there. And Landon, one more from me. Talking about this Clemson team and just wanting the former player perspective, is it more satisfying as an offensive lineman when your quarterback and your wide receiver hit a big-time chunk play or when your running back's able to burst through a hole for a big-time chunk run? What's the more satisfying feeling? Is it keeping the QB upright or paving the way for the RB1?
Man, I tell you, the year that these guys have had, you know, with unfortunate few games they had early in the year. Right now, I think seeing the quarterback have enough time to throw, they make a big play downfield. You know, from that perspective, obviously that's different for everybody. But from my perspective, I think that they're proving themselves from a pass protection point because obviously that's been a little bit of a weak point for them, and they're proving themselves now. So I think they got to be happy with how much time they gave Cade on Saturday night in Boston College, and I think that, you know, we all know that that's something that, you know, if it continues to improve, you know, this offense can be exceptional. I thought the play call was outstanding Saturday night. I thought that they continued to put Boston College in situations where they didn't seem to really know what was coming at them. So I think you have that effect on a defense when you have, you know, the ability for Cade to run the ball, you ability for Cade to throw the ball, hand it off to Randall here and there. There's opportunities. And so I think, you know, to your point again, I think that, you know, if they are able to run the ball really good against SMU, they're not going to hang their heads. But, again, the pass protection, man, that's been fun to watch, and I'm sure it's fun for them to see him make those plays back there.
Speaking of fun to watch on the offensive line, true freshman Braden Jacobs, son of former New York Giants running back Brandon Jacobs, made his real debut at left tackle this weekend. One, Landon, what do you make of an 18-year-old that's 6'7", 355 pounds? And then two, what did you make of his performance Saturday night?
Oh, my gosh. Well, he it was almost like, you know, you didn't notice the difference. You know, I saw him out there, and I was like, man, this kid, honestly, being that big at left tackle is number one, the biggest advantage you can have. I remember when I played with Chris Harrison, he was a big 6'6", 6'7", guy, 330 pounds. And, man, that's – you got to have that at left tackle. That's your guy that, you know, you're going to – that blind side is very important. And so, you know, when you have a kid like that come in so early – you know, I don't necessarily think that he understands that the magnitude of the situation. I think it's, you're a little blind to the fact that, hey, man, this is, you know, this is a big time game I'm in. This is a big time quarterback that's back here that I can throw the ball. So, you know, you don't realize how high the expectations are yet when you're 18. You're a little naive to all that. So it's a good time to throw someone in the fire. You know, it really is. And you know, I'd much rather see a guy like that go out and make a few mistakes than a redshirt senior who knows better to do it, right? You want that guy to get better through having some failure early on in his career to make him better later on. So I think, you know, having him already step up and look pretty good against Boston College, I think he's going to have a really good career ahead of him.
Landon, you were a part of some very good rushing attacks here at Clemson. And, you know, something I've noticed over the last few games is more emphasis or really engagement by guys out on the outside of wide receiver blocking in the run game. How much does it truly impact as an offensive lineman when guys are out there helping participate and not just standing around and watching?
It's huge, and Coach Sweeney's really big in that aspect of the game. He expects a lot out of his wide receivers, and you know, I don't care who the wide receiver coach is, obviously Tyra Grisham, but you know, Coach Sweeney's, his first and foremost position was being a wide receiver, so he looks at those guys a little more, you know, a little more critical, I think, than the normal head coach probably would. So his expectation for them is, you know, there's a pretty high ceiling for that. So blocking an exterior, you know, is big in the run game, especially as an offensive lineman. When you see those guys out there working and just maybe able to get in their way a little bit more when a run is able to get downfield, that makes all the difference. You know, I feel like most of the time that's what prohibits a run game from being able to get, you know, the mass yards that you want to achieve. So when you have those guys participating, making some blocks downfield, it's encouraging from an offensive lineman perspective. You know, you're not the only one out there kind of putting in the work, so to speak, to make those big yardage gains.
Landon, last one from me for you, and it's going to be a question we asked you last week as well, but we talk about momentum and how winning is something that's contagious and how building and stacking wins can be huge for this Clemson team. Kind of a two-pronged question for you here. Number one, what is the feeling like in the locker room when you get back-to-back blowout wins like Clemson just got, and how can that kind of carry in your day-to-day preparation, whether it's a little bit more energy in the weight room, a little bit more energy talking to a teammate, eating a meal? And then the second part of that is, are you a little bit frustrated that Clemson's got this bye week after the SMU game? Because if they come out and look great against SMU, this is not the time in the calendar you want that bye. I know you can't control those things,
yeah.
But it could halt some of that momentum for the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, bye weeks are great for injury, right? But they're also a little bit of a momentum crusher when you're doing so well. But, you know, you definitely like to see, you know, I only had one bye week when we played, and you know, having two is good in that injury perspective. But, you know, back to your point with momentum, you know, you talk about not just winning, you're winning on the road. You got two road wins that really is going to carry this team. You know, you're coming back to a home field advantage, which wasn't so great the last time they played there. But going on the road and winning is a lot different than winning at home. And I mean that in a perspective of it's way harder to do. You know, it's challenging from, you know, a lot of perspectives. You're being put out of your comfort zone a little bit, especially when you're talking about some of these young guys that we're putting on the offensive line. You know, able to have that success, you know, that sort of success doesn't exist. You can't gain that anywhere else other than going on the road, proving yourself, getting that confidence, and then coming home and, man, and showing off a little bit of what you've learned. That adversity that you gain from road wins is really, like I said, there's no other way to get it. You have to go on the road. You have to play well. And that momentum, you know, is huge in the fact that these guys got a couple home games coming up here. And I really hope that we see this offense do what it's capable of doing and what it's been doing. So I think that SMU's going to be in for a long day Saturday when these guys get out there. I think it's just going to be fun to watch, and that's what we want to see, right? Just continue for those guys to have fun in the winning, and it's going to be a good day for the Tigers.
And Landon, last question for me will be like kind of along the same wavelength but in a little bit different of a framing. What are your thoughts on improving throughout the course of the season? Can some of this be attributed to just as simple as Clemson is getting better on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think after the Syracuse game, I think there was a long, long, you know, going into the off week there, a long, you know, look in the mirror, so to speak, right? I think they talked about the self-reflection throughout that off week that they had going into Carolina. And, you know, when they play a team like North Carolina having the problems they have, you really don't know, are we better yet, or are we playing a team that's not so good? Those are question marks that, you know, are in my head. I'm sure they're in their head, right? And I think we saw that kind of question put to bed in Boston College. This team decided that after the off week that, you know, they're tired of the negativity. They're tired of not playing to the capability that they have. So in the way the season's transpired so far, we're seeing them get better. And I think that's all you can ask for from a team like this. You know, they are doing exactly what you want to see a football team do at this point in the year. You know, you're getting towards the end of the year where, you know, things are getting more serious, right? You're playing a little tougher teams. You're going to end up playing South Carolina, which is going to be a huge game on the road. Gather all the ability of learning through that adversity you can. And I think that's just going to project them to where they want to, you know, be at the end of the year. They talked about winning 8 games after the Syracuse game. And I think we're going to see, hopefully, a team that can do that.
Landon, final thing here for you. Texter 0094 got in and said, rough one in Vegas, get it done in Talladega. What's going on with the William Byron race team right now?
Yeah, man. Going to Talladega, one of my favorite tracks this weekend. You know, a lot of nostalgia there, being such a great racetrack that we're able to visit every year. And you know, a lot of expectation for us going into there. You know, we were wrecked early there in Vegas, or late in Vegas, I should say. And it was tough for us, being a very fast car, running, you know, first and second all day. So in a NASCAR season, it's very similar to being in football season, right? You have something bad, man, you want to have a quick memory and move on to the next one as quick as you can. The opportunity for us is still on the table in Talladega and going from there to Martinsville, Virginia. So we really want to achieve a win to put ourselves in that top four for the final round there in Phoenix. So I think that we have an opportunity to do that. Look forward to going to Talladega this weekend and really seeing what this team can achieve. So having a lot of fun, man. Looking forward to seeing where we can line up the championship, and go Tigers as always.
Absolutely. Landon, we'll all be pulling for you. We'll all be watching on Sunday down there at Talladega. And obviously, thank you for taking the time to break down the Tigers this morning.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week, Landon. That's Landon Walker, former Clemson offensive lineman and member of the William Byron race team.
Absolutely. Love Landon's segment every week. Doing a great job as always. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. We're talking more college football. Probably going to talk a little NFL as well throughout the course of the program right after this.
Looking for your dream home? Empire Homes, family owned for over 30 years, invites you to Sunrise in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson. Choose from one or two-story homes starting in the mid-300s with 2 to 5 bedrooms and up to 3,400 square feet with every detail built around your lifestyle. Right now, lock in a 3.99% year one rate on quick move-in homes with a 2-to-1 rate buy-down, or save up to $15,000 when you build. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com because your house should feel like home.
Save up to 50% at the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Expo this weekend at the Garrison Expo Center at Clemson University. Browse the largest display of hot tubs, cold therapy tubs, swim spas, and saunas in the region from major brands at up to 50% off. Over 30 spas will be on display, and immediate delivery is available. Show admission and parking are free. That's the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Expo this weekend at the Garrison Expo Center at Clemson University. Visit HotTubExpo.com. That's HotTubExpo.com.
It's the time, Tiger fans. Football season is here. Make sure your tailgate machine is ready for the season with a trip to Pendleton Tire Company. Whether it's tires, brakes, or that lift kit and wheels you've wanted, Pendleton Tire Company can take care of all your needs.
Hey, Tiger fans. Get ready for football and tailgating on a new set of tires from my daddy at the Pendleton Tire Company.
Listen to Cruz and go see his dad and the team at the Pendleton Tire Company in Pendleton or online at PendletonTire.com.
Lennox in the air means money in your pocket. Turn to Heavenly Air of the Upstate LLC for special offers happening today that will put high-quality Lennox air in your home and savings back in your pocket. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,800 in rebates on a brand-new Lennox system. Or qualified buyers make no payments, incur no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system, plus receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Visit heavenlyaire.com today. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number RHB587.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
One bag at a time makes a big difference. Help clean up Anderson County one bag at a time. If every household countywide collects one bag of litter from your neighborhood, imagine how much better it would be for everyone. All we're asking of you is one bag at a time. Make it a fun project for your family or your neighborhood. What a difference we can all make. Anderson County Solid Waste will provide cleanup supplies. Just call 260-1001 to report bags and request supplies, one bag at a time.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have 2-stall, 3-stall, and 4-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
At Toyota of Easley, it's the Clear the Lot sales event going on now. All 2025 models must go before the 2026 models arrive. Now is the time to get your best deal with great rates and discounts on all remaining 2025 Toyota Camrys, Corollas, or RAV4s. Hurry in to get the best selection of colors and amenities. Visit toyotaofeasley.com and pick out the vehicle you want. Then call to make an appointment or visit us at 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway and experience exceptional customer service for your new ride home.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Travelers Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Hi, I'm Chef Franklin Becker. You know the jingle. Now discover the facts about Ozempic, a GLP-1. There's only one FDA-approved Ozempic, made by Novo Nordisk. Learn about the real thing.
Talk to your healthcare professional today. Call 1-833-OZEMPIC or visit Ozempic.com to view the medication guide and to learn more about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Segment 2, Hour 2, Facts and Childress, John Hite, continuing with Facts on Sports here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams & Co. roofing text line. A couple texters are getting in. Last segment, I believe y'all said that Syracuse defense is worse than SMU's, and they gave our offense fits, especially finishing drives. I hate to say that. I say that to say this. I believe that Clemson football is back. We've been executing at a high level. Competition doesn't matter if you are doing it wrong. Anyways, 49-17 Tigers. Appreciate the text, 279. And yeah, you know, it's a weird dynamic with that Syracuse game. I wouldn't say that the Syracuse defense gave Clemson fits by any means. I mean, Clemson outgained Syracuse and had over 500 yards of total offense in that game. But you're exactly correct by saying finishing drives was a massive issue. I mean, how many times did Clemson strand out in plus territory in that game against Syracuse, seemingly? It was a very, very frustrating dynamic to kind of digest in real time. And it's more frustrating to watch back, right? Because you see a lot of those controllable football things that we talk about and Coach Sweeney preaches that are glaring on tape, whether it's jogging to the football after the play or not being in the right gap or blowing an assignment on the offensive line. There were a ton of those things that were evident in the Syracuse game, but with that being said, after hitting that reset button in week five with the bye week, week six and seven, Clemson has done a really good job of executing well and playing to the standard early in games, and then it's just, okay, let's get the backups in there and get a look at them after that. So would love for that to be the case this weekend. Don't think we get to that level of a lopsided margin, and heck, I'm not sure Clemson's going to even win the game at all, but it would definitely be nice to get some more cushion out in front of you early in a game again. I could get used to that, John. If you told me 28-0 first quarter the rest of the way like you had in Chapel Hill, I'd probably take that right now and run for it.
Yeah, I think if you win the toss, get the ball to start the game.
Yes.
I think that was one thing that was... it did not go in Clemson's favor at the beginning part of the season, was deferred to the second half. No, get the ball and let's go. Because you don't allow... Because I still don't... I don't fully trust this defensive effort. I don't. If you show it at home this week, then I'll start to believe that that's now a constant. I'm just not there yet. I need to see it more because I have 3.5 games of them pouting and 2 games of them being dominant. I think the way this team is built, I think from a confidence standpoint, it all starts and ends really with the quarterback. Like, I think you've got to take the ball early, try to make something happen here, because if you go down the field and you score, then you don't allow the opportunity like Syracuse had where they was 10-0 before you got the ball.
Yeah. Like
you need to start the game in control.
There was a point in the Syracuse game where they were on pace for 800 yards of total offense. You never had control of the game, and you were in fight or flight mode from game, like, the minute the game started. Like, your offense, as you just alluded to, did not touch the ball until you were 2 possessions in the hole. This wasn't down 7-0. Oh, let's go tie it up. No, you were in the hole 2 scores to start the game.
With an offense that had no confidence.
And if you make 1 tackle on the first drive of the game, that's 0-0, and it's a 3-and-out punt, which is why it's so frustrating to look back on now. But I don't want to get too deep into the weeds of all that and the implications that game has had. Texter gets in and says, if I'm Q's, does QB still have their QB Valeri?
No,
there?
Angeli. And yeah. He is out for the year. He was it a Achilles?
He tore his Achilles.
Tore his Achilles, yeah, in the Clemson game. So it's been Ricky Collins, LSU transfer.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, though, 266. Obviously, they're a much different team and a much better team with Angeli, but yeah, it's just that's a really unfortunate injury for that kid, because he was playing his tail off. He was having the game of his life in Death Valley, making all the throws. He was very, very impressive, so going to hope he gets back next year and gets back healthy, because he's a treat to watch when he's on the field for the Orange. But in relation to this SMU game and what's coming up for Clemson, I do think it's a good opportunity as well, and we talk about, you know, momentum and carrying into the bye week where Clemson has struggled traditionally and all these different narratives. You have a chance to send a message that if you don't think that SMU is fired up coming into your place. And listen, I know that the season has not gone the way that many would anticipate, and expectations have been tempered and all that. We're going to preface that with all this and get all the negativity out of the way. SMU doesn't care about that. I can just tell you that right now. SMU does not care that there's not a little number by Clemson's name. SMU does not care that Clemson has 2 conference losses. SMU wants revenge because Clemson stole a top 4 spot from them in the college football playoff last year.
They did.
And a conference championship.
They did. And also, taking down Clemson still means something.
It does.
I know that there have been a lot of people who've been able to walk in Death Valley and take advantage of that, but it still means something. That's still a feather in his cap.
Right.
Like, it's a very big deal for Rhett Lashley's resume to beat Clemson in Death Valley.
I mean, Fran Brown was legitimately starstruck and could not believe that they had won that football game. And I say that in the most endearing way possible, but, like, you have to think about him. He was a DB's coach at Georgia 3 years ago, and he just marched into one of the premier programs in college football's house and came out the victor at Syracuse, right? So he was like...
And it, like, wasn't even close, yeah.
He was having to process in real time in the postgame. He's like, sorry, guys, like, I'm emotional right now, but, like, I can't believe we just came in here and beat Clemson. That goes to showcase the level of weight that Clemson's name still pulls. And yes, again, that hasn't been earned this year, but if you can put the rest behind you and win 6 more football games, you're going to get to a respectable record and have a chance to play for something more potentially. So keep putting your head down, going 1-0 every week, and finding a way to control the controllables. Ron and Aiken, who is our 3rd string quarterback, and what do you think of him? It's Trent Pierman, and I think he's a good player. I think Trent, I'm just going to be brutally honest here because there's no other way to say it. If Trent was 2 to 3 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier and a little bit more physically and athletically gifted, probably be talking about one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. Instead, he's just not naturally physically gifted and or talented enough to be a starter at the Power 4 level. Mentally, based on everything I've heard and everything I've seen, Pierman might be the smartest quarterback in the room as far as game IQ and feel and pre-snap and post-snap goes. He's just a little bit hindered by his lack of athleticism and physical prowess, but I think Trent Pierman's a really good player, and I think he could drop down a level to like the group of five. Or man, if you put that kid in FCS, he would look like Joe Montana. So I do think that Trent Pierman's a good player, but I don't think he's better than Cade Klubnik, if that's what you're getting at on the text line. Another texter gets in. Don't forget that Syracuse cheated. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get too deep into all that. Clemson didn't deserve to win.
Yeah, they did, but they also, you know, punch you in the mouth and beat your brains in. I mean,
you didn't deserve to win that game.
In no way did you deserve to win that game.
Yeah, no you didn't.
And that's why after the week, like, yes, Cade was accurate in calling it out in post game, and we were talking about it here doing the broadcast in real time, but it had no impact on you losing the game. You not showing up and not taking Syracuse seriously is why you lost that football game.
Yeah, exactly. It was entirely effort-related, and it was entirely Clemson football-related why you lost that game. So that's kind of my final comments on Syracuse. Texter gets in and says, Pierman seems to have the it factor as well. I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Another texter gets in and says, Trent didn't accidentally win Gatorade Player of the Year twice in high school. Dude's a baller. Again, I've given Pierman a ton of credit. I just told you, I think he's a really good player. Like, I think he could go to any other level of college football outside the Power Four and be an uber-productive quarterback. I think he's really sharp mentally. I think he has a really good understanding of what the asks are of him. And I think that he also is very smart with the football. The issue, again, and it's nothing in Trent's control, it's God-given, right? It's his body. Like, he doesn't have a strong enough arm, and he, you know, isn't big or fast or strong enough, and he's not tall enough. Like, all of those things do matter when you get to this level and the margins are so thin. So, again, I tweeted out last week, I think Trent Pierman should be the backup. Like, I put that on a public forum, at FaxonPXP on Twitter. I clearly think very highly of the young man and his ability. I don't know. I don't know what the coaching staff is seeing between him and Vezina to make that decision at QB2, but I tend to lean towards Pierman as far as who the QB2 should be. So that's kind of where I'm at on Trent Pierman. I think he's a good player. Let's get Tom the Buckeye in here on the phone line, 654-ROAR. Tom, good to hear from you. Great win for your Buckeyes this last weekend. And does winning ever get old, man? Are you doing so much winning you're getting tired of winning yet?
Yeah, you know how I am. I'm always seeing the next thing around the corner.
Of course.
But, hey, I gotta give you some respect, man. You and I have been on Indiana since way back. And I got to tell you, when it started with me was last year, early in the season, they played UCLA out there and handled them. And I just was like, wow, what is going on? Because you could just tell how well coached they were, the level of intensity they played with, and, you know, to see it translate into this year, it's just been amazing. I mean, they are my 1B team for sure. So it looks like we're headed. My brother has tickets every year. He lives in Indianapolis, and he has tickets every year. Of course, we've, you know, bumped our toe against Michigan every year. So, but he has tickets for the Big Ten championship game in Indy every year. He sells them most years because Ohio State, but I think it's kind of starting to look like Indiana, Ohio State at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that Indiana and Ohio State are the two best teams in the country, not just the Big Ten at this juncture, Tom. I think that both teams are uber impressive. I think that Cignetti deserves a lot of credit, but I also think his front office deserves a lot of credit for bringing in a lot of these guys, especially beefing up the lines of scrimmage. Their talent ID, their player evaluation, all of that very, very much impresses me, and I think Indiana is a power player as long as they've got that staff and infrastructure in place. And then with your Buckeyes, like, it's roll the ball out and they're better. They've got more talent, they've got more depth, they've got better coaching, and they have better football players, and they have the two best football players in the country and the best football player in the country on each side of the football. So a lot of great things going Ohio State's way right now, but Indiana's definitely a program on the ascension, and I think this is really the first time, Tom, and I know we've been talking Indiana for a while because I think we kind of saw the visual elements of this last year. This is the first time where Indiana's garnering that respect nationwide, and people are starting to wake up and say, okay, wait, this team can win the national championship, and they're actually really freaking good.
Yeah, and so I've got a theory about Cignetti I want to throw at you to see if this makes any sense. You know, last year, the two games they lost were on the road, And he even talked about the fact that the crowd noise was an issue. And, you know, coming from JMU, playing in these bigger stadiums, it's the first time, you know, he's had to deal with this. And I think he made some real adjustments against Oregon this year. And I think going into this year, he knew it was a deal that they were going to have to deal with to win some of these big games on the road. And the last point about that I want to make is, man, I thought Oregon should have got called several times for this, you know, deal where they, you know, and it's Georgia that started it with this last-minute shift of the line, which I get that's a thing now. But Oregon was also raising their arms, which is not allowed, and Cignetti was kind of going nuts about it, which I think he had the right to. I think it's kind of poor sportsmanship to just do that over and over when you know it's an advantage. And they had a number of offsides, overcame that.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Mendoza, after throwing that pick six, just went right back down the field. I mean, just so much respect for them. So much. Yeah.
Of course, and yeah, it definitely felt like there could have been some disconcerting signals, whistles on Oregon in that game. But again, Tom, as you mentioned, like, Cignetti's not an excuse maker, and that trait kind of embodies the group that he brings in, and they personify that to the maximum, right? They're just going to put their head down and keep working. That's a blue-collar, hard-nosed football team out in Bloomington. They're really fun to watch, and they're extremely, extremely talented. So if that's a crash course for the Big Ten title game, I would not be surprised in the slightest. We got to take a quick break. A pleasure, as always, Tom. Thanks for the phone call.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. 654 Roar is the number. We'll talk a little more Big Ten football right after this with Faxon and John.
The Tigers return home to face the SMU Mustangs, and we've got to cover with all the action, starting 6 hours before kick at 9:30 a.m. with the Ingles Tiger pregame show live inside Burton Gallery. The Tiger tailgate show with Faxon and his crew will take over at 12:30. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action, and Donnell Clark and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. If it's Clemson football, it's right here on The Roar, the flagship station for Clemson athletics, where every day is game day.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Every decision counts, and IMS makes it easier. From motors and pumps to gearboxes and drives, Industrial Motor Service delivers proven solutions that save money, reduce downtime, and simplify purchasing. Whether you need a repair or a replacement, they've got you covered with clear quotes, quick responses, and decades of repair history to guide the right call. For 35 years, plant managers and procurement leaders have trusted Industrial Motor Service. IMS, your partner since 1989. Visit industrialmotorservice.com.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Have you considered the legacy you'll leave behind for your family? The staff at Green Law Firm is here to help you create a legacy you'll be proud of. The best time to plan for the future is now. Whether it's a straightforward will, power of attorney, family trust, or another option, David Green is here to guide you in choosing the right path for you and your loved ones. Call today 864-271-7940 or visit greenlaw.legal so he can start planning your family's legacy together.
It's time to give your lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch? Not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple. The highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call. DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
With fall comes fall weddings. Grooms, don't let the big day get away from you without a visit to Roosters to look your best. Right now, Roosters is offering a groomsman party pack for grooms with a party of 3 or more. Grooms get a 50% discount on a gentleman's choice haircut and shave package and 10% off all in-stock products for the entire wedding party. What better time to look and feel your best on your special day? Call Roosters and secure your appointment time today. 864-884-892. Serving the Greenville area for 12 years.
Did you know that hot, dry weather can negatively impact your home's foundation because the soil underneath shrinks and cracks and ultimately damages your foundation? And this is more problematic in soil with high clay content, like here in the Upstate. Before those minor issues become major problems, call the experts at Canty Foundation Specialists. They know the importance of being proactive and finding the right solution for you. Book an appointment now at 864-403-5263 or online at CantyCanFixIt.com.
Tired of all the fake news in the sports world?
He read an article.
I read it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
That's where we come in, to give you the truth in sports. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us on the phone lines or the Adams & Co. Roofing text line. A couple texts to get to. Texter says, what do you think about Chris Denson? Obviously, the high three-star Coastal Carolina flip that Clemson had last cycle. Haven't seen him this year on the field, not on the travel roster. QB4 on the depth chart as of right now. Long-term, I think he could be a good player. I think he needs more development, more seasoning, some time in that crock pot, but it's going to be interesting to see how this offseason plays out at the quarterback position and whether there's going to be portal entries and, you know, who's going to the NFL and what's Hunter Helms want to do. Does he have a year of eligibility? Like, I got to do a little bit more research and homework as to what the eligibility status is. I know Pierman's got another year, right?
What if they pass the rule if you get five to play five?
Then Cade could come back if they pass the rule. So there's a lot of different things to be accounted for when it comes to the quarterback situation next year. I would describe Chris Denson as an option right now and a guy that provides an undeniable big plus trait with his legs. He's got a ways to go with his arm, but I definitely like the profile, and I think there's upside there long term. A couple texters getting in on the Indiana game. The Indiana drive after the pick six to tie the game, when I saw a team that is truly dangerous and is a real threat to Ohio State, I have a hard time disagreeing with you, texter. I have a hard time disagreeing with you, and I think that you're in a position right now with Indiana football where they're not catching anybody off guard anymore. I think they've graduated from the, oh, look at them, like it's Indiana, that's so cool, that's so good for the program, to where it's like, no, they're going to put a knife to your throat and like you better be ready to play. Yes. They've graduated from the cool little feel-good story to a legitimate power player in the world of college football. Is that the way you view it, John? Because I think they're here, and I think they're ready.
Yeah, I mean, if I had an AP vote, I'd put Indiana at number one. So, yeah, I believe in Indiana. Yep. Very much so, because they walked into Oregon, and they won that game on the lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
You have a guy, a quarterback, who could potentially be a top 10 pick. You have Surratt, who should be an all-Big Ten receiver. I think that front seven for Indiana is very legitimate, one of the best in the country. And I think with the way they're blocking up front, I think Himby is a very good back for that offense.
Yeah.
I'm all in on Indiana. All about it. Like, in terms of teams right now that you're projecting to the playoff, that is where my rooting interests lie. I'm not even going to be shy about it. Like, it's go Hoosiers, man. This is an awesome story.
Absolutely. Texter gets in and says, what is Get 5 to Play 5? It's currently, there's legislation that's going to be proposed to the NCAA that everybody should get 5 to play 5, meaning everyone would have 5 years of eligibility to play 5 years of college athletics. It's not passed yet. There's rumors and speculations that it could be passed prior to next season. As of right now, that's up in the air. I don't know how to give you an accurate projection on that, but if it happens, then everybody would currently have a year of eligibility that's a true senior, and if it doesn't happen, then they wouldn't. And that's the best way I know how to describe it. So we're going to have to wait to see.
Because I think it's a way that they're trying to get rid of some of the waivers and all of the claims that I deserve an extra year. Like, no, we'll just drop the red shirts, drop it all, you get 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. And
if that makes it a little cleaner, I'm here for it, because I do get so sick and tired of the seventh-year guy sticking around and, you know, all the different waivers that have to get filed and, you know, like the phase-on stuff that we had to deal with from January up until the kickoff of the season. Like, I'd like to just get rid of all that.
I agree with that. I would like to also get rid of that and have a one rule that kind of unifies everybody under the same umbrella. Texter gets in and says, Indiana did play a close one at Iowa. Will they go 12-0 or get upset at some point? The rest of the schedule is manageable. I think that's a good question. And yeah, like, they were on the ropes against Iowa, obviously. They've got Michigan State at home as a 28-point favorite this week, so that's going to be blowout city. Then they get UCLA at home, and albeit another great story that I think everybody's kind of rooting for at this point, that's going to be B to A, you know, in Bloomington. And then they're at Maryland, at Penn State versus Wisconsin, and at Purdue. At Penn State would be the one that I have circled. I do think there's something, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Penn State wins the rest of their games this year, just to be completely honest with y'all. I got to inspect that schedule a little bit more, but there is something to be said about the interim coach bump. They're at Ohio State, so they're not winning that one. Penn State's probably going to end up either 8-4 or 7-5 and finishing the job strong. That's usually what happens when a coach gets fired, especially in a disappointing season. Like, they're going to find a way to rally around someone, and they'll turn
Penn
it up
State?
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not buying that there's a rally.
I don't know.
I
don't think it's a relevant rally. I think they're going to end 8-4, lose to Ohio State, maybe win the rest of their games. I think they could beat Indiana at home.
I will weigh in. I think they're going to lose at Iowa this weekend. What's Grunkenmeyer? Like, I need to see what the new quarterback looks like after Drew Aller's college career came to an end.
Yeah.
But I don't think they win a night game at Iowa. I think, and then the next two games after that are at Ohio State and hosting Indiana. I mean, yeah, I think they're going to get routed in both of those. I think mentally I think they're going to check out. I don't see that as like the rallying cry that we're seeing in some other spots. For me personally, I think it's not going to be as bad of a season as like Oklahoma State is going through, because they're not even like competitive in games. But I just don't see I don't see that only one loss the rest of the way for Penn State. Because if the vibe is really like that, why do you make the move?
Yeah.
I'm still just wrapping my head around making of that move.
They really fired him. That's still kind of crazy in real time.
It's very crazy.
Yeah.
It's very crazy, and someone is about to get a darn good football coach out of this.
Yeah, but on the Indiana front, 11-1 or 12-0 seems likely is what I would say.
And 11-0, 12-1 gets you a very nice seat in the college football playoff.
Yeah, and you're likely competing for a conference championship, especially now that Oregon has that blemish on their resume and a conference loss. So if Indiana runs the table, it's going to be them and Ohio State on a crash course in the Big Ten championship game, which is kind of what Tom got at. And again, I don't know if conference championship games really even matter in those type of situations anymore. They matter. I don't want to discount it completely as far as what the future looks like for those two teams in the college football playoff, I don't think it matters a whole lot.
It matters for seeding.
It does.
Because we're now doing the straight, you know, the straight seeding.
Straight seeding does impact things.
And so it very much helps. And also if you're like Indiana, I can understand the argument you make if Ohio State gets there and they're like, all right, whatever, we're in. Who cares? Indiana, though,
that would mean something.
Yeah, no, that will mean everything to that program. To win a Big Ten title in football?
That would be insane.
In the year 2025, where we're paying people? With the money that Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Oregon and Southern Cal have?
It's still kind of crazy to wrap your head around what Cignetti and his staff have done and his front office have done as well. Somebody's going to be very happy if they ever leave. I will say that whatever, I guess, program elects to go that route. But, we kind of had that conversation about would he take the Penn State job, would he not? I don't think you have any reason to leave right now.
No.
If you've gone to the playoff two times in 2 years somewhere, why would you leave or think that the grass is greener?
I don't think it is. I think to use the quote by Dan Lanning, I think the grass is pretty darn green in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason for him to leave. Because we talked about the other day, like, he is going to have interest. But Indiana's going to be able to match whatever these schools want to throw at him.
Yeah. Which is insane.
Because we're actually seeing Indiana allocate resources correctly. We saw about the basketball team last year was horrible, but they're doing it well with football.
They are.
Take the money away from basketball. Give it to Cignetti and football.
Let Cignetti and football keep carrying the athletic department at noted football school, Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
noted football school, Indiana.
That's where we're at in 2025. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, one we didn't mention this last weekend, but I thought was a big one for their outlook. Nebraska got a huge win on the road at Maryland. Comeback from behind. I said it in the, you know, at kind of the kickoff show and whatnot, and there was some pushback. I think Raiola is one of the best young players in the country. I know that he has had three interceptions in this game. I've watched the majority of these Nebraska games. I don't know how you could take away anything other than being impressed with that young man. I mean, they have no skill position talent on this team, dude. They have nobody. Nizaiah Hunter is okay. I don't think he's starting at the majority of Big Ten schools, and that's really the primary weapon for him on the outside. Dane Key was irrelevant pretty much his whole career prior to coming over to Nebraska, and I guess he's okay now. This is a roster that Rhule and Raiola are making look a lot better than it actually is right now. And I don't think we can discount the coaching job and the quarterback play at this institution. I mean, Nebraska football being 5-1 in 2025, fourth in the Big Ten is a really big freaking deal. Only losses to Michigan, and it was by 3 points at home. I think they deserve a lot of credit for what they've accomplished.
Sure.
And I think Raiola is really starting to grow into his own.
Yes. No, absolutely. I think this is an interesting test Friday night for them at Minnesota.
It's a weird game.
It's a very weird game. I like them. I don't love them. You know, I do agree with you that Matt Rhule is doing a very good job because I think the tackles at Nebraska are not very good.
Yes.
I don't think they is a very good offensive line. But no, it's been an impressive start for the Cornhuskers. You know, I don't think this is going to be one of those seasons where Nebraska's fighting for bowl eligibility, which is a nice change for things in Nebraska. Back to the way it was 30 years ago. So, no, I'm here for it. I think it's a weird trap spot going to Minnesota. But I think the real test for this team is going to be hosting Southern Cal in a couple of weeks.
I have my eye on that one as well.
Because it's Lincoln Riley having to get on a plane and change time zones, which is very beneficial for Nebraska.
He's going to let everybody know that they have to change time zones too. And he's actually, him and Mick Cronin are the only two in the country that are impacted by this. Nobody, it's fake for everyone else. Mick Cronin,
well, James
and
Franklin
Riley.
Was impacted by it, but now he's no longer being impacted by it.
Yeah, because
for
he
now,
to,
unless he gets another job, that's
he's got to go search
in
for
a
another
cross country league.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that matchup. I kind of lean Nebraska as of right now. To be honest with you, the rest of Nebraska's schedule is very, very manageable. At Minnesota, you got Northwestern at home. USC is the toughest game left on your schedule, and you're playing that one at home, too. At UCLA,
It could be UCLA.
At UCLA could get tricky. That could be a weird one with the travel element and the fact that they're playing a lot better ball right now, and they've got a lot of wind in their sail. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and then you're at Penn State and Iowa at home to end the season. I don't think Nebraska is really in the conference championship game picture as of right now, but I'm also not comfortable eliminating them from this because there's only two undefeated teams in this league, and it's Indiana and Ohio State. So I know we just had the whole hypothetical about, yeah, those teams are probably going undefeated, but the emphasis there is on probably, because if one of them drops a game, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams in the Big Ten that currently have one loss that are jam-packed in like sardines, tied for second, I guess, in this conference or whatever it is. USC's at the head of the snake right now because they have an extra league win, but they've played an extra league game over everyone. So they're 3-1, and then you have 8 teams at 2-1. Oregon, Michigan, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, Iowa, Minnesota, and UCLA are all 2-1 in Big Ten play right now. So I still think that this is a league where there is intrigue if Indiana or Ohio State drop a game, because all of a sudden, you're likely going to find yourself up in some weird level of tiebreaker at the end of the year to see who's playing one of Indiana or Ohio State. So definitely a lot there. Hour 3 up next.
CCPFM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.